Blog Talk Radio.
I found out the hard way. Some things you just can't get. When I fell in love with a woman I wish I never met, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I fell easy prey to an innocent way. I was so blind.
Voices Radio, and that is Foreigner singing the song Spellbinder. A spellbinder is a speaker of compelling eloquence, also one that compels attention. spellbinding, attracting and holding interest as if by a spell. Foreigner is a British American rock band originally formed in 1996 in New York. In 1997, they released a self-titled debut album, the first of four straight albums to be certified at least five times platinum in the United States. It peaked at number four in the U.S. album chart and are the top 10 in Canada and Australia while yielding two top 10s in North America. Feels like the first time in Cold as Ice. Their 1978 follow-up, Double Vision, was even more successful, peaking at number three in North America with two hit singles, Hot Blooded at number three in both countries, and the title track in the U.S. number two and Canadian number seven. Foreigner's third album, Head Game 79, went to number five. Their second album, Double Vision, released in 1978, was co-produced by Keith Olsen, and it peaked at number three in both the United States and Canada and dropped to number 13 in Australia. It was the band's first album chart in the U.K. I'm sorry. Say hello. Double Vision did not chart in Norway, where their debut had gone from number one. The album spawned hits were even more successful in North America, and those debuted with Hot Blooded at number three in both countries and Double Vision reaching number two in the U.S., seven in Canada, with Blue Morning, Blue Day reaching 15 and 21. Aside from Hot Blooded reaching number 24 in Australia, there was little airplay or sales in other countries or the single Double Vision from their next album, Head Games. And the song Spellbinder is from the second album, Double Vision. And it's absolutely one of my all-time favorite albums in the world. And I think I'm going to have to talk my big brother into doing a show on them one of these times. And speaking of, Hatter, say hi while I mute the dumpster guys out front.
Oh, hi. We're talking about Lou Gramm, right? From Foreigner?
Foreigner.
Yeah. Yeah, great band. He's got some wool in his background, Lou Gramm.
They pulled away. Sorry about that. Thank you, Hatter. I loaded a whole bunch of their songs into the studio thinking that, you know, it's not very hard to twist your arm. So anyway.
not at all.
Again, this is a Team of Voices Radio. We write poetry and hang out at allpoetry.com. And we have a group called A Team of Voices. And if you're a member and you click the group tab, you can come knock on the door. If you're not, it's free to join, and you can hit that group tab too and come and knock on the door at A Team of Voices, and you can share poetry with us. If you'd like to call in, the number is 1-646-668-2837. And tonight our topic is witches and warlocks. And on a side note, before I let everyone in the studio, I'd like to say sad day. Rest in peace, Colin Powell. You did a lot. Whether people love you or hate you, you did a lot. And you should be respected. And it's sad. Again, rest in peace, Colin.
Thelma Lou died, too.
Who did?
Thelma Lou from Andy Griffith, Barney's girlfriend.
Oh, wow. I didn't know. But let's let some people in.
Okay.
Sweet is here with us. Sweet. I think you figured that one out when Amadeus announced his
Amadeus, yes.
I love when Amadeus says hello. And right behind Sweet is the dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life Radio, Stephen and Kay. Hey, guys. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here.
Hello.
Glad to be here.
And right behind them, only on one line this time, is Dave. David Prophet, hello.
Yes, ma'am. Hello, hello. I'm glad to be here.
There you are. And last but not least at the door at the moment is Mr. Wayne Gent. Wayne, welcome to the show. I'm so glad everyone's here.
I'm glad to be here.
And I am going to go directly to the board and start moving some poetry because we were already creeping out at the mortuary because I believe that my friend Steven's probably got to get up really early and wants to get off this phone. So I'm going to grab his wife's poem and get us going here. And it's going to be weird to not have to swap phones and run to your show right afterwards. I swapped phones and came to my own after yours this time, which was cool. And Mrs. Dynamic Duo, Kay, your poem's on the board, so if you would lead us off, that would be great.
Okay. I call mine commiserate in the shelterings of land. Fade into the light. Let a gentleman take the glass and cook in his spoon. Darling, your dye job is terrible. Fade back to black upon cloaked cashmere. This was the day her epiphany struck. Her wings branching dusk to dawn, swan song and tickling the snow to destiny. There you go, honey. Balm and sapidity and pen and ink shadows. Caught onto the cupped eucalyptus as a woman of virtue. Scarlet symbolism, winds of autumn, homesteaders, blackbirds, perlots. Hickory sticks stitched in the vines of the pumpkin is murky fabric, flameless. And choosing nature over jackanapes, earth-born blood nurtures. And palm.
Oh, I love this. Okay, I'm going to start near the end just because I really, really, okay, hickory sticks, stitching the vines of the pumpkin in the murky fabric, blameless. I love that. Hickory sticks, stitching the vines of pumpkin. Okay, nothing like starting at the end and going backwards. But the title's really cool, Commiserating the Shelter of Land. And I'm sorry, was I supposed to load that, Kay? Were you going to listen to... I apologize if I was.
No. I just started doing audio for my rights just because if I want to share them in other rooms to make it easier for myself.
Cool. All right. I just... Cool. Okay. Where was that? Does a gentleman tap the glass and cooking his spoon? That struck me a little bit funny for some reason, because like tap his glass, cooking his spoon. I wasn't expecting that. And where's her wings branching dusk to dawn, swan song and tickling the snow to destiny. There's something really vivid about the trickling of the tickling of the snow. It's like how when it hits your skin, you get the tickle, and it's given me like a visual of a snow globe, and then the little pieces are tickling, and then to destiny. I like how that stands out by itself. Really, really cool. And scarlet symbolism. Okay, I'm going to stop because I do need to leave some for other people. But I like how you pulled aspects from that photo and brought it to life. I know I started at the end and I keep stealing all the little pieces, but feel free to grab any of the ones that really stand out to you. But scarlet symbolism. When I see things that are red, in most cases, depending on what's in that photo, I think, oh man, I bet you Kay would love this. And makes me wonder now if that is scarlet symbolism. You exude scarlet symbolism, Kay. Cool metaphor. Let me get you some prompts. Mm-hmm. I mean some prompts. I'm sorry. I'm it's been a rough couple of days and I'm a little bit off my game, but I still appreciate brilliance. How about if I get a comment from David, please. David, are you muted?
Yes, I was. I apologize. this particular poem is going to take some study on my part. In fact, it qualifies as homework for me. But I really liked it. I love the way Kay writes. I like the way she uses her adjectives and her metaphors, and she's very unique in the way she arranges those things, and they always turn out really striking, and this poem's no different. It's exactly that way. When you read it, if you're a dummy like me, you can still it still captures your imagination and your interest all the way through it, just because of the way it's worded and the meter that her poetry always carries. It's really, really neat. So I liked it just on those attributes alone. I'll have to figure out the entire meaning here pretty soon, but I know I sound like a real dummox, don't I? But that's just me.
No, that's good. Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome, Kate.
Great comment. And I think that it's a nod to her that you can pull so many different metaphors out of there, and you can go back and get something each time, and you have to read it again. But nobody spins a metaphor quite like she does. That's for sure. Sweet Pea, what did you think, hon?
Okay, so this is going to be an odd question, Kay, but is it a 21 Pilots metaphor? Because that's a turlet to me. And then I see murky fabric plainness, which is blurry face to me. And it may not be at all, but that's a kitten in 21 Pilots merchandising, and it's kind of like a maggot to Slipknot. Perlet is a cat to 21 Pilots. So I don't know if you know that, but that's what that is. So blackbirds to Perlets just rings 21 Pilots to me. But just asking.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
He was asking if this was yours.
No, I wasn't. No. The long and the short is, for me, if anybody knows me, at the end of the day, cats and literature and my music, that's where my foundations of happiness begin and end.
Okay, so it is. okay, so this kind of makes a little more sense to me. So I kind of see that. I really like that nod. Just so you know, I was kind of like, oh, okay. No, this is really kind of cool. I really like this a lot. And I love, darling, your dye job is terrible. I thought that was pretty funny. And I love the word that you used. I know I've got to find it. I can't find it now. Lord, of course, now I can't find it. But it was very interesting that you used the word, and duh, now I can't find it all. But the softness of skin we talked about, and now I can't find the word you used, but it was fabulous. And if it's in there, if anybody can see it, because my eyes can't see it now, but I looked over it like three times before I was like, what the hell is that word? I know it, and then it like clicked. So, again, your language is amazing and makes me think. And I hadn't seen that word in a long time. And again, I'm looking through this, and I cannot find it.
Balming?
The skin balming sapidity.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, in pen and ink shadows. That's a really great word. So I really like how you weaved all this together. And thank you for the nod to one of my favorite bands, too.
Thank you.
Cool comment. And Stephen, will you comment for your lovely wife and then read yours for us, please?
Yeah, I like this a lot, too. I told you in my comment that I'm eating this up because I think that you you looked at that picture and you took it and you wrote to it so well, because so many of the lines in this piece make me think of the posture that she has in this picture, with her legs crossed and kind of leaning back a little bit. Kenya, like when you're saying, darling, your dye job is terrible, and there you go, honey, that kind of thing. You kind of see her saying that type of stuff in this as well. I thought that you wrote this very well.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, I practiced this a few times, so I'll probably screw it up. So here we go. I call this In Veins of Dry Ice. Mirror upon rock wall does gaze beyond upon bleached follicle corms. Botox lips inflated past what would be purported norm. It groans and cracks falling from frame, shattered pieces on the floor. Not able to reflect again the shaitan concubine whore. Candy-coated checkered smiles and hidden wetted teeth. Asbestos intentions paved with candor that drives her to her knees. Glowing eyes covered in friendship that hide intended sin. Idiom so distant from probity drool from her faux wantish grin. Caramel-covered apple promises that hold a poison bite. Blackened Numa slinks beneath pinchbeck aura of white. Wrinkles and unfair skin are kept well out of sight. Curdled thighs fill leggings up with dark nightmarish fright. Craters caked with thick grease paint veil petroglyphic face. Carcinogenic lung tissue elicits breath that reeks of mace. Tiny balls of fur are crushed beneath her clotted feet. Pain dealt out to all who cross while never leaving seat. Doppelganger persuasive of used and blackened guise. Plastic spells are oathed and spent for future's dark surprise. Hag-ridden to move, only abaft or standing still. Freed from only after pints of blood are spilled. Rip of Luciferan queen with tailpiece tucked between fat-ass cheeks. Ashtray-scented redolence filling her household reeks. Seat upon the flaming throne guaranteed since birth. But first her goal to make all lives a living hell on earth. Toddling blue jay pecks out his own heart upon her heinous stare. Methanol concoctions sully tabby food bring fretful looks of care. Kidney rupture buried deep in backyard secret soil. Witch's brew iced coffee phlegm is swallowed as you toil. End poem.
Wow. Damn. I really think this photo spoke to you, Stephen. Man, oh, man. The details, the cadence, the story, candy-coated checkered smiles and hidden wetted teeth. Whoa, caramel-covered apple promises to hold a poison bite. Blackened Numa slinks beneath pinchback shore of white. Aura of white, doppelganger, persuasive, abused, and blackened guise. Plastic spells are oathed and spent for future's dark surprise. Man, you really brought your cadence here, Stephen. I'm like extremely impressed that you have alliteration in there. You have rhyme and flow, and a really cool story, and such vivid details, craters caked with thick grease, paint veil, petroglyphic face, like packed on each part. Oh, man, let me see where I go with this one. Kidney rupture buried deep in backyard secret soil. Witch's brew, iced coffee, phlegm is swallowed as you toil. Like, oh, you had to put phlegm next to my coffee? I mean, oh. It just gave me one last cringeworthy visual before you finished up. This is actually really brilliant, and a 10. And I remember when you were just breaking 200. Now you're well over 220, Stephen. You're really outdoing yourself week after week, night after night. Rip of Luciferan Queen. With a tailpiece tucked between fat ass cheeks. I mean, the visuals here were like this treat of ups and downs and dark and a couple giggles. And I love the use of the wording. and the photo. I think that you did a brilliant job with this one. And because of that stunning rhyme and cadence, I'm going to have Hatter comment, but first let's say hello to the Queen of Canada. Hey, sis, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm glad you're here. And I'm just about to get Hatter to comment for Stephen. Hatter?
Yeah, can you hear me okay on the headset?
Yep.
Yep. Okay, cool. You know, he got carcinogenic lung tissue in a poem. Like, I'll give him a 10 for that. it just kept getting more disturbing and more disturbing. Just what after that, like a recipe almost. Powdered blue jade to his own heart. It was a great visual there. Yeah. Skippy's growing up. Nice job.
Thanks, Hatter.
Yeah.
Awesome comment. And how about I get one from Sweet, please?
Well, curdled thighs, still leggings up with dark nightmarish fright is my daily trip to Walmart. but other than that, this is disturbing as all get out. Oh, my God. First off, ashtray scented is not just a scent, but it's a taste. I don't know if you've ever been in a room where someone smokes very heavily or in a car and their ashtray is just filled with cigarettes. There's a taste. There's a texture to it. And I thought that was one of the most brilliant things I've ever read because it's smell and it's taste right in one, two little words. And it just fills your mind, your imagery, and like so many factors because, you know, that smell, that taste, that everything just there. I thought that was really brilliant. I mean, along with several others, but that one just really hit me hard because it was just like, oh, and reminded me of someone I've known for a long time who actually stopped smoking. But I just, when I see them, I just have that mental image like, oh, and then kidney rupture buried in backyard secret soil. Kidney rupture, oh, that's painful. And, oh, I can't, I've had a kidney stone. I can't imagine your kidney rupture. So the imagery in here that brings on, you know, those five senses is so vivid and so raw. Like, you outdid yourself, my dark brother. Outdid it. I'm like over head over heels crazy in love with this one. Just top notch, you know, take it to 11, screw the 10, a type of poem. Really, really enjoyed.
Thanks, sweet.
Fabulous comment. And David? Unmute, David.
I'm sorry. I didn't get a chance to hear Stephen read this. I was dealing with my dog, so I apologize.
That's
no
okay.
Problem.
You can check it out and leave him a comment. No problem. And Hatter's call dropped. Lady A, did you want to comment for Stephen?
Yeah, sure. I thought that... I'm sorry, I'm just distracted a little bit. I just got news that someone passed away. Just let me bring up this poem again. Sorry about that. I think that, Stephen, you outdid yourself with this one, and I thought that you had, there's a lot of bits in here that were poetic, what's the word I'm trying to use? The like, you have a lot of alliteration in here, and I thought you had it just creepy enough to make it very creepy, and like the phlegm, as she said, black and pneuma slinks beneath pitch black beck aura of white. I think that your descriptions were gruesome enough, and well, it was very creepy. And the Luciferian queen with a tailpiece tucked between fat ass cheeks, you know, your humor was there, your devices, poetic devices were there, the creepiness was there, and I thought you did a really, really good job with the prompt, and your vocabulary was really quite good in this as well, and you mirror upon a rock wall does gaze upon bleached follicle corns. You know, like there's a lot of excellent bits of literature and poetic devices in here. I thought you did a good job.
Thank you very much, Lydia. Appreciate it.
Welcome.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, since the mortuary is over, how about you tell us what else is going on over there this week?
Oh, yeah, okay. Wednesday is our next show, as we're off tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern, and it's the Poetic Inklings, and it's our monthly visit with Agnes Cecil, watercolor artist. Kay picked out a lot of really cool paintings from her to write to. Check them out. And then Thursday is the Movement of Sound, and that's Duran Duran we're going to go with, so we're going to listen to Duran Duran songs. Learn about them and read some poetry inspired by them. And then something different on Friday is 8 p.m., and it's Bring Your Favorite Dark Write that you wrote.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty awesome. I will see you guys there, and I appreciate you calling. And I know that you'll have to go and get some sleep shortly, but stay as long as you like. And Sweepy also is on a time thing. So what I was hoping, my sweet, is if you could do me a favor, and first I want you to do a back-to-back. I'd like you to read Booze, and then after we get the comments, we'll do yours. That way I can get that one read as well, if you don't mind.
Not a problem. All right.
And there they
are. Vixen. Okay. Verdant Vixen. An exchange of temptations that led to a hidden ordeal. One act of carnal ecstasy made to seal the deal. The gamble to see if it's worth lending a piece of your soul while trembling inside for the choice that eventually take its toll. Signs of horror slowly surface, but shrugged off despite suspicion until a vision in jade provoked inner unrest in a hideous affliction, hedonistic affliction. Vivid memories of previous torment came back on Halloween, sexually attracted to a witch who was a vision in green. She's not your friend or your lover tonight, there'll be mutual attacks as she smiles through gritted teeth while your friends turn their backs. Anger resembles flames, deserting ash or phantoms, green cracks, with logic and reason as both weapon and circumstance against an entity who leaves nothing to chance. Bargaining on final bet, minds have been plotting to do away with all dirty dogs as their ego is left rotting. This bitch ain't got no treats, she only comes with tricks, occurring to entice sinners with a saucy central mix. Great resolve equipped with intellect to avoid such penance. It's going to be a long night. Now down and prepare to suffer the consequence. End poem.
Awesome read. Thank you, sweet. So like quite often, Boo is in the room at a poetic slice when I read and then do what upcoming shows. And when I had mentioned witches and warlocks, she hit the chat wall, my inbox, and yelled, "Ooh, I want one," all simultaneously. So I think she was enthused by the prompt, and you could tell in the write, it's got deep images, it's got powerful feelings, until a vision of jade provoked inner unrest and hedonistic affliction. Vivid memories of previous torment came back on Halloween,
Really, really great details. Bargaining on a final bet, mine's been plotting to do away with all the dirty dogs as their egos are left rotting. I kind of love the in-your-face-ness of that, those two lines right there. There's impact and power in it all the way through. I think that, for one, since she can't see the board, so I sent her a few choices. Okay, I sent four. After she asked, I put this green one in her box, and then I thought, well, it's not really fair if I give her an assignment when everybody else gets choices. So I put three other choices in there, and I'm pleased to say that she chose the green one that I would have sent her anyway, and I love when that happens, so I just thought I would say that on the side. But I'm really glad that she asked for a poll because, or a prompt, I mean, because this came out excellent, and I hope she does well in the contest that it's entered in, too. Thank you for sending it in, and Sweet, thank you for lending your voice to it. Will you comment as well?
Well, I love this. I think it's got the great emotional pull and trickery for all the bad boys who drool, because I love to do away with all the dirty dogs and their egos left rotting. I think she just took it, the mighty hand, and spun us a spell and just whipped them all into shape. I love it's going to be a long night now down and prepared to suffer the consequences. She definitely took control of it. Her wording was great. Just the way she wove it all into that final, sentence, like, down boy, and I'm going to make you suffer. I really like that. And I love, the Green Witch of all. She's great.
Awesome comment. And how about Kay, please?
Well, yeah, I had read this earlier. I thought this, the picture is cool. Her thoughts, yeah. She definitely has a lot of empty thoughts and exchange of temptations that led to a hidden ordeal. And then speaking about she's not your friend or your lover. There'll be mutual attack. And speaking about logic and reason as weapon and circumstance. And she ain't got no treats. She only comes with tricks here to entice. Yeah. She spoke to this well because, in my comment, I was thinking, in her own way, the devil in disguise. Instead of the devil in a blue dress, she's in green, and she's playing her game well of baiting for a reason. So, it's a cool angle to the prompt. I love the way this reads.
Awesome comment. And Stephen?
Yeah, well, first off, I really liked your comment, hon, because it made me think of Elvis.
No, I know, that's what I was hearing when I read
it. You're the devil in disguise. Yes, but I like this too. To me, I thought, from all the imagery and the way she worded it, it was talking about falling for the wrong person and then suffering through a drawn-out and abusive relationship.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I saw here. I thought this was a powerful piece.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much. And how about I get one more from Lady A, please, and then Sweet will read.
Well, I really like this. It was very powerful, I thought. It was an exchange of temptation that led to a hidden ordeal, one act of carnal ecstasy made to seal the deal. It's like she's almost reflecting, was it worth it, that one moment in time. And with logic and reason as both weapon and circumstance against an entity who leaves nothing to chance and bargaining for a final bet, mine's been plotting to do away with all the dirty dogs as their ego is left rotting. I mean, it's really strong wording, lots of really good imagery, and then it's going to be a long night now down and prepare to suffer the consequences. There's a whole lot you can read into this. You can interpret it in a lot of different ways. I thought it was great.
Awesome comment, and I very much agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
My sweet. Yours is on the line, on the board.
And thank you, Death, for being so patient with me because I picked many, many witches. So.
No problem. But somebody has their computer on or something because we're getting an accident.
They got an extra tab open. It's usually what that is. We got two tabs open in the same.
All right, let me just see if I can figure out. Hello, testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, let's see. Let me just try one at a time. Hello, testing 1, 2, 3. Not Hatter. Let me see. Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay. My dear queen, it's from you. It's from your place.
Okay, let me see what I can do here.
Let me see if it's still doing it now, because it could be a coincidence. Okay, well, for the moment, it's not doing it. So let's leave that be. And sweet, like, absolutely adored this picture, so I can't wait to see what she did with it. I've been waiting. And it's all yours, my dear. Take us away.
Midnight storm. Droplets of dew on nightshade give apple trees a poisonous taste. Chalk outlines on blood-red rose promises stain the ground. And the sea tosses its undead screaming as they crash in waves against the blackened cliffs of her island. Shrinking, wrinkled hands reach to climb the jagged edges. Ripped skin decorate the rocks in climbing ivy patterns. Hollowed eyes stare up on murky waters with teardrops of seaweed weaving through rotting mouths and gaping throats. Hunger guides her to the highest temples to prepare for her next feed. She calls through the shadows hidden within the turbulence of the winds, conjures the darkness out of clouds that summon thunder, and sheds her teardrops of blood to control the rain. She rises her head and arches her body to the stars as she lifts her voice in prayer. Hair of fire, the skin of ivory, the blood of black, eyes of gold, I conjure the midnight storm. Strike down the apricot rays of the rain. Rise the waves in anger. Let the skies spit the rain and thunder. Spin the winds in a violent rage and sink the ships of warriors, the innocent and the sweet. Bring them to me and feed the consumer of souls. The clouds turn black and the rain fell against her skin. The wind begins to spin around her and the thunder called her name. She opened her mouth to receive her bounty. And her hunger faded. There will be new eyes bobbing in the waters tomorrow. End poem.
Holy shit. Well, there's an ending for you. Oh, my. Sweet, the enthusiasm that you read this with was pretty wicked fun. I have to tell you, the dimension that you put into this is like, wow. Like, because I look at that midnight storms and I see the redhead on the edge of that cliff, and I'm standing there with you. That's you. And I can't wait to see where you take us. And you start off with droplets of dew on nightshade give apple trees a poisonous taste. And I'm like, oh, no, here we go. Despite the poison apple. So I like that aspect there. And I can find something to pull out of everyone. Shrinking wrinkled hands reach to climb the jagged edge. Ripped skin decorates the rock in climbing ivy patterns. I'm like, oh, vicious. Man. Let me see here. She calls the shadow hidden with the turbulence of the wind and conjures the darkness out of the clouds that summons thunder. And you're bringing in the sounds now. The thunder's rumbling, and we're seeing those clouds move as you wave your arm. And, oh, man, let me see here. Hair on fire, the skin of ivory, the blood of black, eyes of gold. I conjure the midnight storm. And just that line there, it sounds like you're saying a spell. You're what's that word? You're conjuring up. the spirits. But that ending, she opened her eye, her mouth to receive her bounty, and her hunger faded. There would be new eyes bobbing in the waters tomorrow, and it's just like, and then you think about the reality of, and then the next night, and then the next night, and it's like the beautiful, haunting, just shows you that sometimes beautiful things can be pretty scary, and sometimes you learn the hard way, and then your eyeballs bob in the water, so, wow, sweet, this is like, this is a stunner. You kicked butt.
And I took it from the folklore of the Soul Eater, and it's one of the classic forms is a cannibalistic witch. So.
Right. Oh, wow. Well, you definitely combined that with that photo and vividly brought it all to life. I'm so impressed.
I had
how about
that one.
Yeah, a Soul Eater. Yeah, freaking Soul Eater. That's what got me. You didn't read your author's notes. Belief in
no,
Soul Eaters is related to traditional folk witchcraft. You know of a classic witch convention, and somebody walks in and who are you? And he said Soul Eater. Oh, <whoops. laughs> Come on in. certain just could be you consider it a reality in some form. It could just that those words got me soul eater. Jesus, not my soul, man. The eyes bobbing in the water.
Oh.
Wow. Disturbed. Nice to have you back.
No, I'm sitting here laughing because Hatter was so impressed by this that he didn't realize I had said Stephen, and I was sitting here and I'm like, wow, that I mean, and it was an awesome comment too. He was really into it.
It wasn't my Hatter, time.
Well, not unless you changed your profile name to Stephen, but your comment was awesome. It's all good, but Stephen, would you like to comment for sweet, or should I call you Hatter?
Either way, I found a little bit of names, but yeah, I don't. I know. I just my grandmother used to call me Mark.
Okay.
Anyway, this is amazing. Holy moly is all I could say, Dark Sister. The imagery of Liz gave me the willies for sure, especially that line that Deb quoted, the skin hanging from the rock face like ivy. This is absolutely amazing. I really dig this. And I read your author's notes too while Deb was commenting, and I think that this is very interesting, and I'm going to have to read more about this. Very cool.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And is Kay still with you?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, when you were opening up in the beginning of the rite, it made me see a little bit of Snow White. So this is my comment. The edge of the lady snow that is pure as a driven snow meets a vein of a bloody edge that's seeking dark hunger. But that closing line... there were the new eyes bobbing in the water tomorrow. Makes me think those eyes were gouged out and put in the water. Like the apple bob for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Bob
very good. Nice.
Yes.
I love you guys replying. I love that.
Awesome comments. And Lady A, will you comment for sweet?
Sure. I think that this was brilliant. I was sitting with my mouth open as you were reading, and I was reading along with you. I thought it was very, when, you know, she stood and raised her head and arched her body to the stars as she lifted her voice in prayer. I think the whole thing, to know that she was a cannibal, now where was that piece that I thought was really, hollow eyes stare up from murky waters with teardrops of seaweed weaving through rotting mouths and gaping throats. And then her hunger guides her. And on it goes. But I thought that was very, this second last verse, hair of fire, the skin of ivory, the blood of black, eyes of gold, I conjure the midnight storm, which I thought was very creepy. And then rise the waves in anger, let the sky spit rain and thunder, spin the winds in a violent rage, and sink the ships of the warriors, the innocent and the sweet, and bring them to me to feed the consumer of souls. How do you think of this stuff? Like, it's really amazing. It's amazing, right?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Ex-wedding vows.
Yeah. Sweet, we're at your mark. Did you want to push this week before you go, or?
I don't have a show this week before I go. I'm leaving like at 3 a.m. Friday morning.
Oh,
where
I thought you were going next week for Thanksgiving. I'm all mixed up then. So you're off
for Halloween. Yeah. And it's Halloween, not Thanksgiving. Let's not push it too hard.
Oh, yeah, right? Sorry about that. Okay, so we will have our suite back on November 4th. We will be crying, missing you so bad by then. Just saying.
Yes.
Where are you going?
I am going to Gettysburg in Washington, D.C.
Oh. Well, have
when you come back, is that when you want to do that? Well, is that when you want to do the Wonderland show when you get back?
Yes. Yes, we'll be doing that when I get back.
Okay.
Very excited about
cool.
that.
Cool. And
yeah.
I have those coming up, too. I have a Wonderland show, and I have a Wizard of Oz show all in my drafts.
So you get to pick a character to come as.
Oh, how cool. Cool. All right, if you guys want to click on Heavenly Angel's poem, I wanted to read for her before she has to go back to work. So, without further ado, this is called Mistress of the Unholy by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. The night was as black as freshly poured tar, thick with a pungent smell of something dead or decaying. Dancing shadows by moon's firelight sent shivers down spine as the trees rustled secrets in a cold, malicious voice. Echoed voices in the night call out to the dark one, the mistress of the unholy. Raven hair and seductive ruby lips, she's a restless spirit on an endless flight. She's like a cat in the dark upon you before you have time to pray. Hear her shriek pierce the night, mad, demonic laughter reverberating through all four corners, turning the blood in your veins to ice crystals. Come now, my children, come and you will see the darkness of your mind, the deep insanity. Beware, the mistress of the unholy will steal your soul and pulse.
Oh,
how cool. Especially that come now, my children, come and you will see the darkness of your mind, the deep insanity. I love that. I almost wanted to do a Wicked Witch laugh right there, but I didn't. Wow. Echoed voices in the night call out to the dark one, the mistress of the unholy. I liked that she gave her a name and a story and brought her to life, and she's a wicked one. But I really, really like that little I guess it would be her tagline or her little jingle at the end. But great details. I like when you dabble in darkness, and apparently others do as well, because Identity Crisis gave you a beautiful shiny medal for this poem, so congratulations on that. And it was my honor to read for you. And let me get you a comment from Lady A, please.
Yeah. Let me see. I'm switching back and forth. Heavenly Angel has always a great way of writing, and to see her write dark like this, I think is a treat. And she went dark. The night was as black as freshly poured tar, thick with the pungent smell of something dead or decaying. And, you know, she talks about shivers down your spine because there's dancing shadows. Echoed voices, malicious voice. And then she talks about the seductive ruby lips and raven hair, and then the shrieking and the demonic laughter, and turning the blood in your veins to ice crystals. Come on now, my children, come and you will see the darkness of your mind, the deep insanity. Wow. Really great, really, really great pen.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, will you comment for Angel, please?
Which lines are the witchy woman? Did anybody see them?
She's a restless spirit on an... Well, raven hair and seductive ruby lips, you changed it a little, but she's a restless spirit on an endless flight, which was probably the quote she chose.
Restless spirit on an endless flight. Excellent. I like the one of these that come out, children, when you call the children into an end of a dark right, you're making it more sinister by far. Let me ask you, is there fonts that should be used in dark and fonts that should not be used? To me, this font is not a dark font, but that's just me because I've used it. I'm calligraphy poisoned.
Well, I sometimes have trouble with some of the fonts, but this one didn't bother me. I use this one too myself.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm not criticizing this font here, just because I noticed it is all, is why I'm bringing it up.
I'm just saying some. I guess it just depends on each person's eyes, because some of them I have a really hard time with and I have to blow them up, but this one I did okay with.
Yeah, very good. Shriek demonic laughter. Bring the children.
Yeah. It was a nice touch to add that at the end.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep this moving along. A little bit puzzled by what Dave just said, but he had to go, and I'm going to grab us another poem. Hatter, I'm going to grab
Bye, CP. Bye, sweet pea. She already leave?
Night, sweet. Okay. Here is yours, Hatter.
Did you say Hatter? Okay.
I did.
Okay. This, I love the picture. Really, if you zoom into the background, it's over there. And for lack of a title, it's the first line. It goes like this. Her visits brought doubt into their hearts, their bones, which she waxed, then set apart. Counting backwards, she then pretends there is no time to start again. Time is shadowed by what waits in chains to roll the dice to be put in shame, put to shame. It cowers behind the bones of your past, knowing this life will be your last, taken to bury a second time. words will be said in the last written rhyme.
Oh, I like that end. I like it all, but I really like taken to bury a second time. Words will be said in the last written rhyme. I like that, but for the second time, that's such a scary pattern. Counting backwards, she then pretends there is no time to start again. Signature cadence shows in there, of course. But I like when you do these little stanzas and you say so much with so few words. And her visage brought doubt into their hearts. That first line reminds me that I have a question I have to ask you later. So aside from that, this is really awesome, Brevity Hatter. Before I have Lady A comment for her liege, let's say hello to Sky, Sky, Sky. Hi, Sky.
Hi,
welcome.
Sky.
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hanging in there. Glad you're here. I don't know how long you were there. Did you happen to hear Hatter? You could take a peek on Lady A comment. It's a nice little brevity.
I was here to hear him. Do you want him to come in? You want me to wait till after Lady A?
Wait till after Lady A for me, please.
Okay, thank you.
I think that her visits brought doubt into their hearts. Their bones she waxed, then set apart. And the counting backwards was quite creepy, I thought. It cowers behind the bones of your past, knowing this life will be your last. Taken to bury a second time, words will be said in the last written rhyme. You know, it was really great cadence and rhyme, but there was just this, you didn't really use any creepy words, but there was just something about it that was creepy. But at the same time, quite beautifully written.
I'm a creepy kind of guy.
Oh, some comments?
Thank you, Lady.
Sky?
Oh, yes, I thought it was an excellent piece. I did get to hear the whole thing being read, which I'm excited. I love how this is a little bit of a storyline. You know, time is shadowed by what weights and chains, the roll, the dice, be put into shame, and cowers behind bones of your past, knowing the life will be your last. Now, there's a real hauntingness in this, and I like how you may forego the details of that actually happening behind the scenes, but the reader can still grasp at the concept, and it kind of actually makes the imagination leap in various different directions because of the wording and because of the storyline you kind of chose. I find myself filling in the blanks a little bit myself, which is also really cool, like interactive poetry, but really well done.
Thank you. You know, I never finished describing who she was. I left it like that. I wondered if it was sounded incomplete.
No, I mean, I think that there's something to be said when a poet kind of gives just a little bit, but not at all. I think it can be quite effective.
Awesome comment. Now, here. Okay, cool. Cool. Here's where we are at. If you should click on Laughing Soul, I'll read for her.
I was just double checking real quick to make sure that there wasn't a recording.
All
right, this is called.
I brought a poem too. I put it in the room last week. I don't know if you saw it or not.
No, I did. Are you not looking at the chat wall? Oh,
no.
I see what happened. You know what it is? Where it says her poem, then her poem again? That's supposed to be your poem.
Oh.
So I hit, but I'll fix it. Just let me read for her first, and then let me go back to that board. I can't believe I put hers twice instead of one of yours. Stuff happens that way, though, you know?
I know.
Okay, let me go over here.
Oh, to the back over there.
Okay, sorry. Let me see. Here we go. It's called The Bewitching Moon by Laughing Soul. Drinking darkness from the cup of infinity, I sit here in serenity amidst flaming deadly love fiends. Beware of the naked lady of nights casting mysterious spell on tides as the blue flower spins in captivity. You see me enchantingly lit from afar. That's my witchy voodoo power. Scarred face with a bewitching smile. I, the moon, a little senile, with a mystical shine. She blooms in shadows, hiding like the corpse flower, drinking darkness from the cup of infinity, dancing in sanguinity as the blue flower spins in captivity. I have a feeling that there's some kind of, okay, never mind, blue flower, earth. As a reference to a poisonous flower, the deadly love bean, naked lady, voodoo, also the devil's tongue, are members of genus Amorphophilus. Very cool. I like the details in this. I liked it. She gave this, the woman in the photo, history and tied it to the blue spinning flower in captivity. I think that's really cool. It gives it like a fable feel or an old tale that she's sharing. I think that it came out really, really awesome. And Laughing Soul, I like being your reader, but I like hearing you too. So there's that. But I think that your brevity came out excellent. And I appreciate it very, very much. And I appreciate the fact that you, over where you are, it's like, what, is it dawn yet? So it's like the wee hours of the morning. You're probably sitting there sipping your coffee, looking at your new cartoon photo, and listening to me read your poem. And I appreciate it very, very much. And before I get another comment, let's say hey to AP. Hi, AP. Welcome to the show.
Hi, there, Deb. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. I'm glad you're here.
Good.
About to get a couple comments for Laughing Soul. I'll go right to Skype.
You sound like you're getting cut off. Did you say Sky?
I did, yes.
Yeah, it's just an excellent piece. I really love the corpse flower. That really, really stuck with me. I thought it was quite clever. She blooms in shadows, hiding like the corpse flower, drinking darkness from the cup of infinity. I really enjoyed that. It sounds like a bit of dark fantasy, which I really enjoy. And then she even brings in the blue flowers. Spins in captivity, and I really enjoy like garden metaphors, I would say, but I like even more when they come down to like a dark metaphor like this. I really enjoy. And then of course, beware the naked lady of night. It was very fantasy based, which is right up my alley. So I enjoyed the story and the way it was written and the word choices that were used. Yeah?
Awesome comment.
Hello?
And Lady A, please.
I think that I agree with you with regard to hearing her read her own poetry, that's for sure. Drinking darkness from the cup of infinity, I sit here in serenity amidst flaming deadly love beams. I think this is an unusual turn for her to write in with some darkness, scarred face with bewitching smile, eye the moon, a little senile with a mystical shine. She blooms in shadows, hiding like the corpse flower, drinking darkness from the cup of infinity, dancing in sanguinity. You know, you can almost visual. That's a really, to me, that's a really good visual, dancing in blood. I thought this was really well done, and it was certainly a change for her kind of writing, and she did a really good job on it.
Awesome comment. And, okay, let me see here. We have Lady A, Sky, and three other poems, and then AP. AP, are you on a break, or are you going to hang out for a while? What's your time?
I'd love to hang out for a while, but I've only got about 20 minutes left.
Okay. Does how about Lady A, Sky, you? Does that work?
Works for me.
Cool. Okay. So let me put Lady A's on the board. Since I accidentally put up Laughing Souls twice instead of Lady A's. And then, Sky, I don't see yours, hon, so if you would put it directly on the board, and we will take it from there. And Lady A, go ahead and read this, please.
Okay. I read this the other night. It was from a prompt that I'm trying to think who had the prompt. Sky, was
my
it you?
Sweet?
No, it was Sweet. That's right. Okay. So this is called Evocation. Wicked witches watched the flames as warlocks played warlock games. Around the flickering fire they danced, mesmerized, deeply entranced. Sacrifice of human form on the ground, a barnyard door. Black sheep's blood painted bright upon the doorposts this eerie night. Heliotropes, moonstones, quartz crystals, and animal bones. Druid quartz, pagan runes, worn with pride as talisman. Amulets worn in hair, on fingers, and around necks. Good luck and happiness. Evil eyes and chicken feet, casting spells, evil and sweet. Round and round the open fire danced, continued as they conspired. Martyr for this night's ritual. Blood flows, it is instinctual. Weaker with each drip and drop, the end is near, it can't be stopped. Final scream, a frenzy starts. Inhale the scent of life drained, it is witch's art. Wising Knot began his dance, whirled, twirled, and pranced. One misstep had stumbled into the fiery pit he tumbled. Scalding coins, molten hot, adorned the bottom of the cauldron pot. He rose from the flames to shout, "It's all fun and games till you poke your eye out."
He loses an eye.
Right? You got to love the ending.
I love it.
One of those ones people pull out in all kinds of ways and pull them into poems. I think you did a great job with that. The picture is so strange. And I love where you took it. Wicked witches watched the flames as warlocks played their warlock games. I like the way that sounds. Your flow there is pretty cool. Heliotropes, moonstones, quartz crystals, animal bones. It's like you're collecting all the pieces that you need for your spell, a little bit of dragon's breath, some reindeer tears, whatever, but it was like the beginning of your collection there. Evil eyes and chicken feet. That made me giggle. But final screams as frenzy starts, inhale the scent of life drained. It's a witch's art. But I have to say that it was the fun little giggle that you picked at the end that
made
I couldn't
me giggle.
Help it.
Then
you and
go
it
back to the photo
well
and you look, and he's
and then your Monday night prompt was Witches and Wizards and Warlocks, so I thought, oh, I got to read that again.
Yeah, no, and you, then you look up and you see this guy with a big old smile on his face and what looks like the casings for a shotgun shell or something poking out his eye there. And it's like, yeah, you had fun with this. And it did. It both prompt. So I'm glad you brought it. It's a fun one.
Thank you.
So where did you get Wizengenot? Is that a Canadian guy? Canadian something?
No, it's actually, he's the chief warlock.
Lives in Canada? No?
Yeah, he lives in Canada with Bigfoot.
No, really, he's supposed to be the chief warlock.
I love the way it was worth the wait all the way to the end. That's great.
It was written what?
It was worth the wait. It
yes.
was a great ending.
Yes. Well, as soon as I saw the prompt, I knew that that was going to be the end line, and so I built the poem. I wanted it to be, dark and serious, and then put that last line in there. I love it.
Yeah, last time I heard that, I think the lawn darts went. Come on, man.
That was
great
a fun
game.
One.
Thank you.
Sky, will you comment for Lady A, please?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was writing. I thought this was an excellent piece, and I loved you could just tell that you really had fun with this and the way that you read it and the verbiage. I don't even know if I can say some of and it's just the way that you brought in the heliotropes, the moonstones, quartz crystals, animal bones, druid quartz, pagan ruins, worn with pride and talisman. You brought in just a slew of just really I guess you would say items and montages to this genre. So you did it so well. I want to know what Hannah said. What's a wisdom? What is that?
He's the chief warlock.
Okay, well, I'm very interested in that word. I like that. So you just and then right at the end, it's all fun and games. So you poke your eye out. This was just really, really fun, creative. I love storyline. You brought in wonderful alliteration, wonderful wordplay. And I can't believe how much you packed in there. And it didn't feel that way either. It felt very fluent, and I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Awesome comment. And AP, we're switching things up just a little, so if you would comment and then put your poem up for us, that would be great.
Who's everybody?
I'm here.
Okay.
AP put his poem up, and
I'm back. Sorry, I'm back. I was talking to myself, Deb. I was going to say, I can't beat Laughing Souls comic because it's a great comic. But putting that to one side, what a spell does, I think, because I've never done one, is to grab stuff from all over the place and put it in, stir it up. And then I guess if something goes wrong, you lose an eye. And so there's the poem, a whole heap of stuff. And then you lose an eye. Go figure.
Did I say Laughing Soul? I'm so sorry. I meant Lady A, so I'm glad you commented on that poem. I'm having a little bit of a rough night, so I apologize. But your poem was awesome, Lady A. And AP, if you would read, that would be great.
Image number two, it's very dark and blue. This is the Ice Queen, and it goes a little bit like this. A pulse trembled through the ice, and distantly a crackle was heard, scratching the scurrying of mice as faint movements slurred. Hovering off the far side of a hall, this cabin hewn deep into snow, rustling and bustle within sprawl was its owner, the Ice Queen low. Luminescent, a shade of opal blue, presence both harsh and evil face. Electrical activity raging through on her body, tines of arc traced. It moved, heard, a tight zipping of current zapping to either side, backwards and forwards ripping air away from anywhere near tired. Her halo of tentacles draped fierce, fingers were sharpened as knives, crackle of energy, eyes pierce their sole aim, the taking of lives. End poem.
Wow. Hovering off the far side of the hall, this cavern hewn deep into snow, rustling and bustle within sprawl, was an owner of the Ice Queen low. Oh, and I like this. As moved, heard a tight zipping of current zapping to either side, backwards and forwards, ripping the air away from anyone near tied. The visuals there are cool, but the alliterations are as well, and the rhyme and the flow and the story. And I'm not going to steal all the lines, but I have to say this one. Her halo of tentacles draped fierce. The images there are freaky scary. And then you look up to see, what do you mean? And then I didn't spot it. I guess I just sort of assumed that they were snakes or feathers. But tentacles, what a brilliant way to pull that in. So I think that you did a great job with this. A pulse trembled through the ice. Distantly a crackle was heard. Like, imagine trembling so hard that you start to cracking the ice and stuff. I like that you pulled her out of the ice, out of the caverns. I think that your yep. details and stuff were really awesome on this one, AP. I wasn't sure what you...
Thank you, Kraken.
But, yeah, I like where you took this. And go ahead, Heather.
It's the Kraken, the mother Kraken, please.
We could well be, yeah. Could well be.
Yeah, this is very good. Getting darker, AP. I almost bought it that time.
Almost, well, there you go, see. I got the pause at the end. That helped.
Yeah, I know. Oh. Yeah. You got to sound a little more like Boris Karloff, though.
Thank you very much. We're all getting there with an Australian accent.
Don't we all?
Your Boris Karloff voice, huh?
I'll go darker.
Okay.
Listen to the grin.
How about I get a comment from Sky, please?
I thought this was excellent, and I don't know if this was a bit of an inspiration for it, but the Snow Queen going all the way back to there was a bit of fantasy film, and it was integrated into the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and then later it was going to be introduced into Frozen until they decided that they wanted to make her more of her. The sister's more heroic and good than one of them evil, but I like this because I like this kind of storytelling, fantasy based, and luminescence, a shade of opal blue. I really loved these descriptions here, and then the raging with the tines of arcs traced. I really loved that, and then zipping and zapping I thought was quite clever play on language. And Deb, you don't have to worry about stealing all the words. Because they're really great lines. There was a lot of, at the end, you say crackle of energy, and I think there was a lot of energy in this piece. It was a great character tribute, if not, to the Snow or Ice Queen, and perhaps even a little bit of a leap into your own character description. Truly well done.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Awesome comment. And Lady A, will you comment for AP, please?
Certainly. I'm going back again. I've been running around in different pages, so hang on. I thought that you started off with a really good line. A pulse trembled through the ice. The visual of that to me is quite vivid. You can imagine looking at her, and she's beneath the ice, frozen in the ice, and then there's a pulse. I thought that was brilliant. And then you talk about the color, the luminescent luminescent, a shade of opal blue, presence both harsh and evil face, electrical activity raging through on her body, tines of arcs traced. So it's almost like a Frankenstein kind of visual to me, that she's beneath this ice, frozen in the ice. She has a pulse, and then all of a sudden the electric current starts bringing her to life. And I thought it was really interestingly done. And then it's almost like a Medusa-like when you talk about the tentacles on her drape, her fear, her halo of tentacles draped fierce, fingers were sharpened as knives, and crackle of energy eyes pierce her sole aim, the taking of lives. That's pretty gruesome. I thought you did a great job on it. I love the visuals.
Thanks, Claudia. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comments, everyone. Thank you very much. And I was hoping AP will read the Wayne before he goes, and then we just do the last couple after that. Thank you, AP.
Okie doke. So this is by Mr. Wayne Gent, of course. This is Grandma's Witch's Stew, and it goes a little bit like this. My personalized grandma and grandpa dwells down the pathway by the emerald fireplace she commands, his brained butterscotch day. Puppeteer Queen's radish eyes stares into golden glow of book as her elbowed arm caress, chrome candelabra, locking look. Weeping Merlot mate with collared cerebellum drinks stewed slime, amethyst air of poisoned pistachio, perfumed froth burns lime. Shadowed satin-laced lady sharpens sangria snakebite spell, his hurting hologram haze hangs in hourglass hedges of hell. Assassination of animated apricot artifacts announces sleep. Woodpecker walls whistle as weapons of wounded whiskey weep. Two torn teenagers' throat thrum and thorax tagged with skulls. Snapdragon squirrels sit on stump shouting as suntan day dulls. End poem.
Alan.
Awesome. Did you want to say something here?
it reminded me there's an English show, and AP might know what I'm talking about, but these animals talk. They put voices to these animals, and it's one is this prairie dog and a squirrel. He's going, Alan.
I remember that.
I don't think that's Alan. He goes, Steve.
That's right. I remember you. You're absolutely right. I don't know its name, but you're absolutely right. There's an echo or an assonance in the poem, though, that comes through from the sounds. It's interesting.
I got to just say squirrel. Not, what? That's what that is.
There you go.
Well, I think that Grandma's Witch's Stew is an awesome title. My personalized grandma and grandpa dwells down the pathway by the emerald fireplace. She commands his brained butterscotch day. Brained butterscotch day. I have to think about that one. I'm not quite sure about that. The visual is really crazy. Weeping Merlot mate with collared cerebellum, drink stewed slime. I mean, ew. It's all creepy and pistachio, poisonous pistachio perfume. So some of the visuals here are funny but creepy too, and that's kind of talented. But, okay, an assassination of animated apricot artifacts announces sleep. Woodpecker walls whistle. I might have on one or two previous shows mentioned that I thought that Wayne was a insanely fun kind of guy, and this poem proves my point. He's definitely fun, and his sanity can be questioned with some of these things here, like that pistachio perfumed froth. But I think it's that it came out really, really fantastic. And Snapdragon Squirrel sit on the stump shouting. That is a visual, just saying. And APU Red, will you comment, please?
Well, I'm thinking I'm probably glad he didn't have to read that, because he twirled and twangled that up quite nicely. Some of the descriptions are quite exceptional. The shadowed satin-laced lady sharpens sangria snake bite spell. I really like that. There's something in that. But, I really enjoyed it, this poem. I just felt the way the words came together and the way they rhyme actually really gave it a really neat flow.
Awesome comment, and I appreciate you waiting to read for that. I know you have to get back to something because if we don't,
I have a video conference waiting for me, Deb, so I'm going to join that on New Zealand, and I will disappear now, and we'll talk very soon.
All right. Thank you. Love and respect.
Thanks again. Okay. See you soon.
See you, B.
Okay, you guys, and we have these two recordings left. So we will. I took the board down, so we'll do these two and listen to a song together and go away. How's that sound? So if you guys would click on Gerald's, I would push his recording. And here we go.
Halloween Private Ceremony, written and read by Gerald Green. With a heart as cold as a reptile wrapped around his waist, he stood before the window facing north and considered what he wanted on this All Saints' Eve. The scene was set in the silent family crypt, a perfect place for speaking to spirits and tasting the other side to balance the imbalance in his mind. His head ached from the smell of incense, distracting his attention as the snake tightened its grip around his torso. Suddenly, everything went wrong when a sharp pain in his stomach caused his right arm to jerk upward, throwing his grandfather's skull into the air. His left arm let go of the snake's neck and helped catch it with two fingers inserted into eye sockets, but the lower jaw crashed to the marble floor, shattering into a dozen pieces. The snake took the opportunity of the momentary freedom and slid around his neck, its head now behind him. He tried looking down for the broken jaw, but couldn't. The snake's body now enveloped his neck as its muscles moved instinctively. It was 2 minutes till midnight, and he must be in position, but the python failed to cooperate, making him angry. The creature, sensing his changed demeanor, became frightened and constricted, squeezing human tissue with its scaly skin, preventing him from breathing. He no longer cared about his custom-tailored costume or sacred shawl, as desires shifted under panic's control. He dropped the skull and shoved fingers between the rented snake and his throat, but the snake pressed harder, and now his hand was trapped. If only he could speak with soothing voice and words, but the creature resisted with even greater strength. He fell to the floor, failing to notice another sharp pain as he landed on a broken tooth while struggling with the serpent. He cursed his obsession with darkness now that he lay in death's passageway, where light could not penetrate and air did not exist. End poem.
Wow. For one thing, I don't know if it's just me, but Gerald has one of those voices where he could read, like, for, you know how they play the movies in school? They would put us all in our chairs and turn off the lights and play the thing that and there, it would be narrated. It would be like history lessons and different stuff. And if they had somebody more interesting like Gerald reading, I probably would have paid more attention. but he has one of those like announcer-ish kind of voices. And I always enjoy listening to him read. And then you take his wit and mix it in with the unexpected way he takes on topics. And I'm always impressed. Let me go towards the middle. Suddenly everything went wrong when a sharp pain in his stomach caused his right arm to jerk upward, throwing his grandfather's skull into the air. And that's probably not meant to be funny, but there was something slapstick about it. Like, you know what I mean? He let off his arm, the snake's neck, and helped catch it with two fingers inserted into the eye socket. And then you're picturing, like, somebody getting ready to roll the bowling ball. So some of the visuals were freaking me out because I wasn't sure whether I should be laughing or not laughing. If only he could speak with soothing voice and words, but a creature resisted with even greater strength. The detail, the story, the visuals, the giggles in between, I'm just, his head ached from the smell of incense. I mean, everything from, you know, from that headache to the skull flying in the air and the snake took
I know
the
who
opportunity
he's
of
I know who it sounds like.
Who?
Hal. He was the computer in 2001 Space Odyssey. Hal.
Oh,
one
wow.
One letter from IBM. That's how they got the name Hal. He's the computer. Somebody back me up here.
I sort of know what you're talking about, but I could see that because it's so clear, professional sounding. Yeah, so it could almost, I don't know if I would go so far as to say computerized, but yeah, I see what you mean. But I think that this came out fantastic in story,
yeah.
in visuals, and everything. You want to comment a little more, Heather?
No, go ahead.
Okay, how about I get a comment from the sky, please?
Yeah, I thought this one was excellent. You know, Gerald always, I've been getting to know his work through the SoundClouds and the poetry that he's putting through. I don't think I've ever seen him, not because he doesn't, but I haven't seen or read him write fantasy yet, as of yet. And I'm really excited I was able to, because it just shows how multifaceted poets are here and that we get to enjoy them. I love the storytelling. The aesthetic of the background, of course, were sinister, brilliantly done. Settle enough where they didn't interrupt the reading, which I also enjoy when it's not too overwhelming. I enjoyed the details. The scene was set in the silent family crypt, a perfect place for speaking to spirits. There was a wonderful overlay, I guess, of of details before you actually get into what's happening. And that's in films and in books and in things in stories, it's always you always have to set it up well to execute the ending or even to keep the meat of the middle. So I really enjoyed how there was a hauntingness in the very beginning, and then of course when you get into the meat of the story, I wasn't disappointed either. Really well done.
Awesome comments, Sky. And Lady A, will you comment, please? Lady A, are you muted?
Yes, I am. Sorry. Are we talking about Shelley's poem?
Gerald.
Oh, you're still on Gerald. Sorry, I just totally sidetracked. I'm sorry. I did listen to it. I didn't read it, but I think Gerald has a way of his writing that's this is pretty gruesome when he talked about the snake and putting fingers into the eye sockets and but the lower jaw crashed to the marble floor, shattering in a dozen pieces. it's like he was wrestling with the devil himself. And that's what kind of got me in his poem. And he cursed his obsession with darkness now that he lay in death's passageway where light could not penetrate and air did not exist. I mean, you know, he was writing a lot about shoving fingers in eyes and that sort of thing. There's a couple of verses with that going on, and I think he did a good job. It was very descriptive. It was creepy, and there was one part here I'm trying to find, and I can't seem to find it. Oh, I can't find it. It was something about his. Oh, I'm sorry, but in any case, if I find it, I'll mention it. But I thought that he did a really good job and in describing the whole scene, and it was indeed very dark and creepy.
Awesome comment. All right, so before we put the last recording on, Sky, do you want to tell us about shows you have coming up anywhere?
Yeah, I do have a show Saturday night, Eastern Standard Time at 8 p.m. That was a little backwards there. It is a special edition storyboard. There is going to be a limited prompt given to these because of the way that I want to set up the program. So there's two prompts left. We are going back to the Grimm. It's going to be the 1812 version of the Grimm Brothers fairy tales. And as some of you might know, they did a 7-book rewrite of these original tales that they gathered through. So the stories we know now are very different from the original edition in the 1812. So I've uploaded audios for all of them because I have the audiobook, and I have a little bit of information about them. Each person gets their own story, and it's your job to say, hey, if you wrote the second rendition of this story, what would you take out? What would you leave in? What do you like? Or you can just write how it inspires you if you want to. But that's basically what they did. They took other people's stories and then added stuff in and took stuff out and rewrote them 7 times. So if you were to do that, how would you do it? I am asking that if you need to read and run, you let me know 12 hours ahead of time what time around you'll be calling, and if you need to read and run because of the way that the show is going to be set up, because I will be playing some of those stories. So that's it. Thank you.
Sounds like a lot of work. Sounds like a lot of work, Sky. Okay, and Lady A, we are off tomorrow, but I know you have a show in store for us on Wednesday. Would you like to tell us what's up?
Yes, it's about love. And what does love mean to you? It has a lot of, I put in a little segment of something that I looked up to see the different kinds of love there is. You can write it in any way that you want, whether it's losing love, being in love, searching for love. It can be love between men and women, and women and women, and men and men. It can be love between mother and child. Whatever love means to you is what I'd like you to write, whether it's happy or sad or in between. So hopefully you'll get, I've just received something from someone that I've never actually heard from before, and he's written something to it as well. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you and joining me on Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern on Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds awesome. Okay. Well, if you guys would click on Shelley Borden's poll, we can listen to her and give her some comments, and then I'll close out the show. So I'm heading to the studio to push the button for Shelley, and here we go.
Take over. mirroring a powerful pendant around her neck. Red smoke flows up from their ruby fire eyes. A forceful recognition lands them on her wrist, a flock gathering around her whitened disguise. She is calling forth the messengers of the dark to slice the moon's face with flying silhouettes, splashing oil with each beat of their black wings to a canvas encased by shadowy pirouettes. She beckons the underworld to breach the places that are bathed in a soothing bubble of moonlight, allowing the creatures that come to life in fear to break free from the deepest reaches of the night. Pearl eyes summon sorrow to rise with smoky smog, creating a blanket for her darkness to overwhelm. Patrolling the skies with opaque feathered fingertips, for no light shall once again enter her new realm.
Sorry, I couldn't find my mute button. So I have to say that it is obvious that Shelley's having a good time participating, for one. And I'm always thrilled with new people, especially when they write amazing poems for us and record them. And I want Shelley, but everyone who participates, to know how much we all appreciate them. We do this night after night to shine a light on poets and their poetry, and it's always a joy because we have such great poets that we surround ourselves with. And Shelley, I'm really glad you're here. So let's start there. Now, I'm thrilled with the recording because it sounded awesome, and it's always better to hear poems that are done by the poet themselves. I could really pick anyone, so I think I'm going to go with stanza two. She is calling forth the messengers of the dark to slice the moon's face with flying silhouettes, splashing oil with each bead of their canvas encased by shadows, pirouettes. I love that stanza. I like the details that you put in. And towards the end, pearl eyes summon sorrow to rise with smoky smog. And if you think about that, pearl eyes, there's a scariness, because pearl eyes would mean white, like, you know, the whites of the eyes with no color, no iris, no, just white. And that in itself is really scary. And the contrast of saying pearl eyes, which should be something gorgeous, but knowing that it's something creepy, scary, is quite clever there in the end. And the closing line, for no light shall once again enter her new realm. Shelley, I think that you really brought your prompt to light. Again, I'm thrilled that you are participating. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Let me get you some comments. Hatter, what did you think?
You know, I knew you were going to call on me. My phone's locked up right now.
That's right. Don't you love when that happens? Sky, will you comment for Shelley, please?
Yeah, the thing I love about your Monday night personal prompts, I don't know if you've noticed, but they bring so many story poems. They bring so many story poems, which I really, really enjoy. These flash fiction pieces, and I've noticed that through while you're doing these series, it doesn't matter the topic, they always seem to bring a lot of story. And this one was just wonderful too. And I agree. I've been enjoying her audios. You know, she is calling forth the messengers of the dark to slice the moon's face with flying silhouettes. Like, how creative is that? Wonderful metaphor, brilliant dark images. And then she just keeps going, black, you know, splashing oil with each beat of their black wings. I mean, the details are what make a story for me, truly. When someone can sit down and tell me a story that has beautiful images not beautiful images, beautiful descriptions and such wonderful images that are dark in such a way as this, I enjoy the entire story that much more, because I'm a true believer in, you can say, oh, well, I got in the car and I went to the store. Well, that's not really a story, but I got in the car and I got a flat tire and all this happened and all this detail, that's a story. And so for me, I did love the overall feel of the story, and it really was her details that grabbed me, especially in that second line, I mean, in the second stanza. And I was quite taken when she kind of brought the bubbles in, you know, the soothing bubble of moonlight. I just like when I see bubble in a poem, because just, especially when it's overlaid in I guess, a thematic poem such as this that has more of a dark feel. So, very well done.
Awesome comments, guys. And I agree with you. It does seem that the Monday shows tend to bring out a lot of the story poems. But I think for me, that's part of the joy, because everybody looks at a picture and their eye goes to something first, and then it leads them somewhere. And I think the fact that they can just look at it and take it wherever it leads them rather than having to squeeze it into a particular box is why everybody just lets their hair down and lets loose, and I'm loving it too, you included. Your IOUs, when they come in, are always well worth waiting for, because you do too. You step into those details and you bring them to life as well. Lady A, will you comment for Shelley, please?
I have been looking for some. I didn't really. Sorry, I didn't pay attention to it at all. I was reading, trying to find something, actually. I have to ask you about after, so I apologize.
No problem at all. Okay, well then, that is the last poem of the night. And I just want to, again, remind everyone to stop by Wednesday night at 9 for mediation, but we are off tomorrow. And before I play a song, I would like to say thank you to my big brother, Haddad, for always being there. And I want to say thank you to Sweet Pea. And David, I'm sorry that you had to hang up, but I'm glad you called for a while. And Wayne, I hope that situation works itself out. That would have stopped me in my tracks, too. Thank you for the poem. And thank you to Kay and Stephen and Lady A, Guy, and AP. And to Boo and Angel and Laughing Soul, and for the recordings, Gerald and Shelley, appreciate you all very, very much. These shows would be nothing without all of you and your brilliance, and we are well aware of it and appreciate you very, very, very much, one and all. And in the meantime, we started the show with a song by Foreigner. So there's a lot of information about them at the beginning of the show. And since I've already educated you on them, I believe I will take you out with a song from the same album. And I'm just trying to decide which one I want to play to take us out of here with. I think I will go right here. Love and respect, everyone.
Clear my head from what fabulous show. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Heather.
Thanks, Deb.
Love
Deb,
and respect.
Check your messages, please.
You wanted to ask me something.
What?
Not on the air.
Oh, okay.
Love and respect, too.
Okay. All right.